Channel 2.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. Here, guess what the cat just dragged
in? I was told to be quiet, so she obviously doesn't want us to tell her on air that she's late.
I wasn't going to mention the fact that Annette was late. For the 930th time in a row, I wasn't going to mention it, but then I thought, you know what, I am. Hi, Nettie.
Hi, Nettie.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Did I miss anything?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah, the beginning of the show, Nettie.
Oh, yeah. Sonia was brilliant.
Did she do that?
She was brilliant.
Routine?
Yeah, she did that thing.
Perfect for radio.
She did that thing.
Perfect.
It was perfect. She did that thing, and we're all blown away.
Perfect.
Anyway.
I'm really glad that worked out.
Anyway, you're listening to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 on this Tuesday the 9th of October, and you're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the lovely...
Me!
It's her, Bird on a Bike.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right, Miss on a Bike, how are you?
I'm all right, yeah.
Good.
I'm a bit full of energy today, don't know what's wrong
with
me.
Are you?
Yeah.
Why, what have you been up to? You got your dander up, have you?
Got me what? Up?
Got your dander up.
What's that?
A bit of energy, a bit of foof.
Who speaks like that?
Old men in the 1800s.
Oh, my God. Who speaks like that? What's wrong with you, you weirdo?
I forgot you're a pirate from a foreign
country.
So.
I don't know why. I think it's up and down of the temperature. One minute it's down, one minute it's up.
So,
a lovely day today.
So have you been up to anything? I mean, have you been...
like what?
Well, you know, bike riding or doing Iron Woman challenges.
No, that was a couple of weekends ago, which I really, really was feeling depleted. That was 2 weeks ago. So this weekend I rested.
Right.
Did you hear that?
You rested.
Who knew that was part of recovery?
Is that allowed?
Apparently so. So now these legs are back on form now. Yep, so all good to go. But I'm into winter training now.
What's that involved then?
Less intensity, longer, slower.
And lots of shivering.
I don't mind. I quite like these sunrises. If you aren't up in the morning, you are missing a trick. It is the most...
No.
But
that doesn't happen.
It's 6 minutes.
Because the beautiful thing is that Bird is an absolute maven for Facebook Live. So I don't have to get up to see the dawn because she gets up and films herself. And then when I get up about 9 o'clock, I can watch the dawn, can't I?
I tell you, Facebook. It's stunning. It is absolutely stunning. So I love autumn. Because I'm getting into the winter, I'm like, oh, snowboarding, panto, Christmas.
Many years ago, I lived in New England, lived and worked in New England, and the fall there is absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
It really is a gorgeous place in the autumn.
Time.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Yeah, I'm all right.
What do you know?
Oh, nothing.
Yes, you do. Come on, what have you done this week?
What have I done? It's only Tuesday.
Yeah. Well, business-wise, I haven't seen you for 2 weeks. What have you been up to? What do you know?
Just working on stuff. I had a really nice meeting with the lovely Jay Sahota yesterday at Jarman Solicitors. That was really good fun.
Mm-hmm.
Over there in Sittingbourne, talking to them, which is really good. And we've been talking to our show sponsors for this week, which are the lovely folks at My Careers Options.
Yeah.
So let me tell you about them.
Do.
My Careers Options is an online platform for parents to help their children decide on the careers options available. It's a really neat platform, and it's something that's been needed for a long, long time to help parents, you know, help their children look at the whole world of work and the type of things that are available and the kind of things you can do. So that's mycareersoptions.co.uk. Do check them out. It's really cool. And we thank them for sponsoring the show.
Yeah, for sure.
And we've got a packed line. We've got a packed studio.
Yes.
Yeah. Now that Nettie's turned up as well.
You're a woman who knows figures. How can you be late every...
Because I was doing them with someone.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Nettie, I like it.
She didn't have enough cells in her spreadsheet. That was the problem.
I'd run out of fingers.
They've run out of fingers, yeah.
They're doing really well.
Yeah, cool. Hey, listen, anyway, we want to hear from you, the businesses out there in the southeast of England, and you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, call me on 01233 220035. That's Ashford, 01233 220035. You could email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk, but by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and to include the hashtag BeBunker. And I'll tell you what, Bert, you want to kick off with a tweet?
Oh, good Lord, really?
Oh, shall I kick off with a tweet?
You
then?
Are
you
not even
what are you doing? You're doing your own work or something, are you?
No.
What are you doing?
I was just busy here.
You're just busy doing something.
I was busy in my corner.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you about this. Karen Ortiz.
Her children's careers, aren't you? She's just looking up that new window.
Oh, she's looking it up, is she?
Yeah.
Yeah. Karen Ortiz has sent a tweet and she says, save the date. It is a way off yet, but it's worth knowing about. 16th of January at 5:30 at Fruitworks in Canterbury. There's an evening event, search marketing and a local SEO training workshop. But a lot of the cost of it is being donated to the street soccer charity for helping homeless young people. There isn't a link to book yet, but she will make it known as soon as that's available. And the easiest way to find that out is to follow her on the Twitter. And her Twitter handle is Karem, K-A-R-E-M, Ortiz, O-R-T-I-Z, 1986, Karem Ortiz, 1986. Give her a follow on the Twitter. As soon as she releases that Eventbrite link, you will know about it.
Well, this isn't really a tweet for Business Bunker, but it is somebody who we love and know on Business Bunker. It's Alexi Consultancy. And she put one, there's a tweet here for me, and it says, one small good morning at a time. Mm. And it says, I say hello to everyone I pass on my walks, and the looks of surprise on someone's faces is a picture. And she's put me in it, and she's put Bird and a Bike, good morning. And there's this chap called Steve Wolf, so that's at Steve KSN. And he's put day 648, my legs might feel heavy today, but my heart almost broke this morning when a little girl no more than five said good morning. It is so true.
Absolutely.
People look at me like I'm a freak because only because
you speak
I say
to them.
Yeah. I say good morning, Nettie, not like, oh, of course, Bird. But, you know, it is so true. Do it. Try, Nettie. Try and be nice
right,
and
no,
say good morning
I do,
to somebody.
But do you know what I would say? And I'm going to get an earful for this one. Okay?
Go on, go for it.
I grew up in the countryside. So when you go out for a walk, when you live in a village, even if you don't know people, you say good morning.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I moved to a town that I realised that everybody ignores everybody and pretends they don't know anyone.
Yeah.
So I still do it anyway.
Me
I
too.
Smile and say hello.
Yeah.
And I think it is very, very geographical as well. In down in the West Country, we all say good morning. We speak to each other.
Mm.
In Kent, I'm sorry if you're from Kent, you're rude. You can't help it. You don't speak to people.
Not it's controversial true. Or anything.
Oh, I'm being honest.
The village's bit was bad enough.
Daring. I'm going there. But it's true.
Yeah, where she comes from. It's all right, my lovely. Yeah, you all right?
Oh, my God.
You all right, my lovely?
I'm doing my audio book. Can you imagine me?
Your what book?
The audio book.
Say
the audio. The audio of my book. Can you imagine it when I'm going, hello, my lovers? So, my name is Sarah Lucas, blah, 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 blah. It's going to be in, I can't wait to be in
it's
a
in pirate. Yeah. So, it's multilingual.
So, it's not difficult.
She's got one version in English and one in pirate. Okay.
So it's not difficult. People of Kent, just say good morning.
It is nice. And it is nice to speak to people and give them a smile, especially at the moment, because everybody's a bit miserable at the moment, aren't they? Oh, the politicians have made a mess of everything, haven't they? And everybody's getting fed up and arguing with each other. Yeah, they have. They've completely cocked everything up. This is just my opinion, but I'm right. they've completely cocked everything up and everybody's upset with everybody else and everybody's falling out over all kinds of things and they need to get on and get it sorted. That's what they need to do, in my opinion.
Does it affect you on your day-to-day mood?
No, it doesn't. But what's being serious for a moment, what I think they've done is they've brought the whole country down. They've just brought everybody to a miserable state where everybody's arguing with each other.
I'm not. I don't even listen to it. I don't want to get involved.
Yeah. But lots of people do, and that's the problem. You know, we were talking about this yesterday in business where, that you know, because a lot of people aren't sure what's exactly going to happen, they're not making decisions all the time, you know. Anyway.
Well, let's just be a bit controversial with that.
Yeah.
It's just business.
Yeah, yeah.
This is normal.
It doesn't actually matter what happens.
No.
You have to react to it and do something anyway, no matter what.
The marketplace is the marketplace.
But don't you think the press have got a lot to answer for?
Oh, yeah, yeah, without doubt.
You cannot read a story without the reason it happened is because of Brexit.
No
one knows what Brexit looks like.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. You're absolutely right. It's all clickbait nonsense.
Absolutely.
You're absolutely right. But I do agree 100% with Bird. You know, no matter what happens, no matter how good, bad or indifferent it is in business, we'll just carry on trying to cope with what we cope with. We actually cope with far worse things most of the time with stupid things that government does.
For sure.
You know, and the stupid regulations and, you know, GDPR and all that kind of nonsense. And we cope with it. We just get on, do it.
So I think we can make decisions because actually the only information you can do is from what you know today.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And you can try and predict.
Yeah, yeah.
And you might be a bit lucky. You probably won't. But we can just make those decisions today. And if you don't, then you're just going to blame somebody else for not making your decisions that really you should have been responsible enough to make.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I totally agree. But you know what it's like. You know, people sit in inertia, don't they? Because they're kind of scared of which way to go.
Do you know, I've been doing loads of wellbeing in the workplace and I'm just writing a white paper now on some trends and predictive trends of wellbeing. Mm. And two things have come up. And they're very gender specific. So here we go. You want to be more controversial? Here it is. The first thing.
Oh, she's on a roll tonight, isn't she?
The first thing is for women.
She's really trying to get us into trouble tonight.
The biggest thing that I've found at the minute.
That's what I find's wrong with women on the show, really. That was a joke.
Was it funny?
Yeah, no.
So the biggest trend for women at the minute is confidence. Hmm. And the biggest trend for men is imposter syndrome.
Imposter.
What's that called? So people rise. It's called the Peter Principle. We rise to a level of incompetence.
Competence, yeah.
So therefore...
But it only affects men, is what you're saying?
No, it's what they are relating back is actually, that's how I feel. That affects my well-being.
Okay.
The trend that people are verbalising back. Really interesting.
Okay, cool.
And then that would come down to decision-making.
Right.
And therefore then we blame the environment rather than actually being responsible for self.
Yep, okay. No, that makes sense. I've had a tweet about something that's happening tomorrow, and it's from Deborah Turner, UN Image Consultant on the Twitter, and she says, can we have a Business Bunker shout-out, please, for the Federation of Small Business Kent 10th of October Mental Health Awareness event, which is taking place tomorrow at County Hall at 9 o'clock. It's a free event, but you do have to book because there's already over 100 people booked, and we will be there because I will be there as well during the event.
I won't.
Will you not?
No.
That's a shame. I'll send you the notes afterwards.
Well, I can't, can I? I'm here.
Of course you are. Yeah.
Carry on.
Do you want to mention why you're here?
No.
Okay. anyway,
so mental 2 hours of this.
Yeah, Mental Health Awareness Day tomorrow at County Hall. Do come along if you can. It's talking about mental health in the workplace, identifying mental health issues, coping with mental health issues, and looking at, you know, all the things around that from stress onwards. So do come along if you can, and thanks to Deborah for reminding us about that.
And that would lead on really lovely to what we were just saying about confidence. Now, that is part of mental health.
Yeah, it is.
I think we think it's depression and these deep, deep feelings. Mm. But actually, it all there is an entry point of confidence, of self-esteem, of how I make decisions, of whether I go for a job or not.
There's not really an indicator of mental health one way or the other. What it is a continuum. Yeah, so...
Yes.
Your mind is your mind, and it can get to the point where... things that trouble you overwhelm things that don't trouble you so much. So it's just a continuum. It's not as if you catch it. Do you see what I mean? You don't catch depression, do you? It's not a switch. It's not something that just comes on. It's a continuum of things that can happen.
Yeah.
I've had a tweet from Maximum Media as well, and I said, could we have a shout-out for our new social media training workshop, please, taking place on November the 21st from 9 a.m. to 12 lunchtime in Margate. It's available on Eventbrite now, so do look it up or follow them on the Twitter, Maximum Media, Maximum_Media.
Wonder how his podcast is going.
Yeah. I'm meeting Ben. Ben is the genius behind Maximum Media, and I'm meeting him for lunch on Friday, actually, so I'll find out and let you know.
Lovely.
Cool. I've had our weekly tweet from the lovely Kim Stevens of Caring Kent, and she says, hello, Business Bunker. I would love, with a big red throbbing heart, I would love a Business Bunker shout-out for my new registered manager, Kylie, who has worked her butt off mobilising 20 new care packages safely and smoothly. So way to go, Kylie, and thank you to Kim for bringing that to our attention.
You know, you were saying something about Twitter today.
Yeah.
It's just taken something out of the ether that I was literally just about to read.
I know, it's been a nightmare.
Anyway.
I've got two phones and a desktop open trying to keep track of all the tweets, and they keep moving them around. Mm-hmm. I'm not happy. I'm going to have a word with Jack later. Anyway, cool. Do you know what? I'm going to play some tunage.
Nice.
Yeah, this is relevant for later.
To who?
Matt and Andy.
Not ice cream.
Huh?
Not ice cream.
It's not ice cream, no.
Okay.
It's, see if you can get it. Hanging on the telephone.
Said I've chosen to Your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement, and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent Business Community today.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 on Tuesday the 9th of October. And hopefully on the phone we're joined by Sally Newell. Good afternoon, Sally.
Good afternoon.
It's lovely to hear from you and thank you so much for joining us. Sally, you're from Simply Ice Cream. Why don't you tell the listeners, probably the one only listener that doesn't know who you are, a little bit about Simply Ice Cream and then we'll move on from there.
Okay. Well, Simply Ice Cream was set up in October 2005, and we started supplying farm shops and restaurants, delis, independents, and in 2008 went into Waitrose.
Right.
So we actually manufacture a range of 30 flavours.
30?
30 flavours, yeah. Wow. It alters slightly. We sort of have bespoke flavours and introduce special editions.
Okay.
So the range is about 30 flavours.
And what's your most popular flavour?
Honeycomb is the best seller.
Yeah, see, everybody in the studio is nodding, going, yeah, good choice.
I mean, vanilla, obviously.
Yeah.
Vanilla, chocolate and strawberry will always be sort of firm favourites with most people.
Yeah.
But we sort of then do seasonal flavours, so Christmas pudding is starting now, and then in the summer we have a range of sorbets that sell really well.
Fantastic. Can I ask you what inspired you to start an ice cream company?
Well, I ran a catering business for years with my mother, and it was really on the back of that, and the idea was that we'd sell into retail and have our weekends back,
right.
My husband and my four kids, because we never saw each other at all. so that was sort of the concept behind it. Mm. But in actuality, we're now promoting and doing events every weekend. So that plan didn't work, but we have a business.
Right, okay. Cool. So, I mean, one of the reasons, one of the many reasons we're talking to you today, apart from the fact that you're really interesting and fascinating business locally, and you're based here in Ashford, where the studio is too, but last year you won a business award in the Ashford Business Awards.
We did.
And what was that for? Which award did you win?
That was the Innovation Award.
The Innovation Award?
Yeah.
Fantastic. And tell us a little bit about what inspired you to go up for the award, and what, if anything, was the outcome of that? You know, was it worthwhile winning an award? Did it help you in any way, shape or form?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, we first started entering awards in 2007. And I think for any business, awards are a really important part of your business plan. I think, you know, sort of it's a benchmark that you can sort of shout about to your consumers and your retailers, and also people in the industry, to tell them that you're actually doing a really good job or you've got a great tasting product. And I think for morale as well, for staff morale, it's a fantastic way of sort of motivating and sort of telling them they're doing a good job as well.
Right, okay. Cool. So it's been a real benefit for you to be recognised for what you've done. And I guess for a food producer, winning an innovation award is extra special, really, isn't it?
It is. And I think, and then the other thing is, I think with the business awards, it's also, because there are a lot of food awards out there, but it's also showing that we're actually running the business well, and that's down to the staff. So, you know, sort of from that point of view, it sort of encompasses everything we're doing.
Right, okay. Cool. Good. So is that something you're going to continue to do? Are you going to continue to put yourself up for those kinds of awards?
Yes, I think so. I mean, we try and sort of look at lots of different awards all the time. So from a food producer point of view, the Great Taste Awards, Taste of Kent Awards, things like the Quality Food Awards are sort of very much part of being a food producer. But I think from a sort of business point of view, it's really important to enter awards like the Kent Business Awards. One, to celebrate Kent, which, you know, sort of, I mean, there's a massive amount of amazing businesses in Kent, and especially food producers. So I think, you know, sort of from a PR point of view, it's invaluable. You know, it's sort of, it's a very cost-effective way of getting some really good sort of publicity around your company.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what are your plans for the future, Sammy? What are you up to next?
Well, we're sort of continuing to grow. We're very much looking towards export at the moment, and expanding our domestic supply. Export's an interesting one. We'll see what happens with that one.
Absolutely. So are you targeting any particular place?
Well, we were targeting Europe. We'll see what happens with Brexit. But I think also the Middle East and Far East is definitely a target market for us.
Cool. Okay. Good. Well, Sally, it's lovely to talk to you as always. If people want to find out about Simply Ice Cream, what's the best way of doing that?
Well, if they go onto our website, and that's www.simplyicecream.co.uk, and that has all the information about flavours, and there's also a postcode finder so they can find their nearest outlet.
Fantastic. Sally, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. And we wish you continued success with your fantastic 30 flavours of ice cream, and especially your honeycomb and vanilla. And we look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thanks very much.
Okay, you take care now.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Sally Newell, the Simply Ice Cream there.
It couldn't have been set up better, could it?
Why?
Well, we talked about Brexit, and there you go. Sally's making decisions on, well,
exactly. On export, yeah.
Maybe not to Europe, but I'm going to do it somewhere else on the world.
Exports are exports.
Exactly. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, fantastic. Mm. Hey, this show's produced, mate. I ain't just thrown together.
Oh, my God, what's happened to your accent?
I don't know, but when did that start?
Oh, my days.
What's that?
What, mate? Here, mate, that is thrown.
She's on the roll today,
I'm
isn't
not.
She? Yeah, you are.
I'm not, Nettie. Was I on a roll then?
No.
It's no good trying to gang up on me. It doesn't work. So, I'll tell you what, read an email.
Well, I was going to actually read... can I read a tweet?
Go on then.
Okay, so this was from Health Matters, which is a health radio show, which is here from our beautiful Neil Deceiver, Silver. And it says, on the subject of mental health, a reminder that it is okay not to be okay, and it's okay to talk about not being okay. So if anybody needs to talk, confidentiality, it's Samaritans, are available 24/7 on 116123. They're also listening, they're also looking for volunteers as well. So if you want to contact me for more info, so that's at Health Matters, and that's at Health Radio Show, and it's Talk to Us, it's the Samaritans. So go to 116123 or that's samaritans.org. Love it. Thank you, Neil.
Cool. Good stuff. Thank you for that. I've had a tweet from Michael Park Surveyors, MPSL, on the Twitter, who say hello, and they're listening to the Business Bunker Show. So hello and welcome.
Yeah.
Cool. I want to tell you about this as well. I had an email from the lovely Julia Kitchener, and Julia runs a charity called Beams, and Beams helps support children with disabilities and their family, and they've got two events that are happening over the next few months. There's a race night, We Are Beams race night, great family fun with this established event. It's held at Dartford Science and Technology College, and it's taking place on Saturday the 27th of October. You can place a bet on your favourite horse and see if you win. Bring your own drinks and nibbles. The event starts at 7 p.m. and finishes at 10 p.m. There's a charity raffle and an auction, and there is full disabled access. It's for all ages, all to support disabled children with Beams, the local charity. If you want to find out about it, eventbrite.co.uk, charity race night tickets, or email fundraising@wearebeams, and that's B-E-A-M-S, wearebeams.org.uk. And then also, later on, they've got a music extravaganza at We Are Beams. An event for all the family will involve the local community to enjoy the Hextable Wind Band, who will be performing songs from the seasons with a Christmas finale. Mulled wine, hot chocolate and mince pies on offer, held at St Peter and St Paul's Church, Hextable, on Friday the 14th of December at 7 p.m. until 9:30 p.m. There's also a charity raffle and auction, disabled access. Oh, it's for all ages, and again, supporting disabled children within the Beams charity. And again, the same contact details, fundraising@wearebeams.org.uk.
Nice.
Cool. One more, and then we're going to talk to our next guest.
Make someone's Christmas extra special with a weekend of world-class piano tuition, luxury accommodation, and delectable food and drink. They need to email bookings at finchcox.com for more information. I think it's a great idea. So that's www.finchcox.com, and they've also got courses available as well.
Cool. That's sweet.
A great idea.
Yep.
Mum, Louis would love that.
Absolutely.
He would.
Yeah.
He'd be like, all right, Mum.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. No, it's Finchcox is absolutely wonderful. It's an absolutely stunning location. Neil, who's taken over the house and been refurbishing it, has done a wonderful job. The piano school is actually in the cellars. And I say the cellars, and that kind of gives you a view that it's a bit dark and cramped. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's a vaunted cellar, and there are eight grand pianos.
Grand pianos or baby grands? Grand
pianos. Eight grand pianos in the cellars, each in their own practice area. It is absolutely unbelievable. Mm. It is a fabulous place. So if you're at all into piano or want to be into piano, go there. It's really cool. Anyway, it's a real pleasure now to welcome our first studio guests of today onto the Business Bunker Show. We have Matt and Andrew from Compare and Recycle. Hello, chaps.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Cool. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to see you. Funnily enough, talking to Sally about winning their award, you guys won an award at the Maidstone Awards last year, did you not?
Yeah, we won the Innovation Award as well.
And brilliant. And what flavour did you make? No, sorry about that. So,
listen.
She's so slow. So, guys, why don't you kick off by telling the listener a bit about Compare and Recycle and what you do, because it's a fabulous idea that you've got here.
Yep.
And it's really, I mean, I came to visit you and you told me all about it, and it just blew me away. I just think it's
so
brilliant.
Do you want the long story or the short story?
No, we'll go with the long story until I'm bored, and then I'll cut you off.
We had the short story last time, didn't
we?
So, I mean, it's started back in 2009. I was kind of down and out on my luck, you know, out of work, running out of money, needed something. So, yeah. My sort of background was internet marketing, web development, that kind of stuff. So, and my partner at the time, she had a phone to get rid of. She kind of had a look around on the internet, and took her ages to get a price for it. So I said, well, let me have a look at this. So had a look into it, and within a couple of minutes sort of realised that I could do something, you know, just everything all there, give you an immediate price, you know, make it really simple. So spent the next, that was summer 2009, spent the next 6 months developing it just on my own. And then sort of got this thing up and running, and then there was no one coming to visit the website. So it's like, well, you know, build it and they'll come. But didn't really happen.
It doesn't work like that, does it? No.
It doesn't work like that. No. So I had credit cards and stuff, and I maxed those out spending for advertising. And yeah, kind of got to a stage where I'd proved that it worked. But it just wasn't recycling itself, no pun intended, you know, quick enough. So so I needed outside help. So I need, you know, investment, basically. An acquaintance, was actually my partner's father-in-law at the time, my father-in-law at the time. So he had just sold his business was looking to cut his teeth on something else. So kind of gave him this idea, and he was quite interested. So, you know, could see that it worked and everything. And he was old school business, you know, been there, done that and everything. Was a bit bored, wanted something to do. So, yeah, put some money in, gave him some shares of the company. And there was a bit of hand-holding because I was basically a developer. I didn't really know anything about business back then. Kind of got it going, and it's just sort of built from there, really.
Okay, so step us through how it actually works in terms of what actually happens. So I've got a phone that I don't want. I've got a Nokia 3310 that's kind of
We won't get anything for that.
I was hoping to attack the retro market with that.
We might have that off you, just for our little display in the office. So, yeah, basically, you've got an old phone. Maybe you've just got a new phone. So you've got your old phone sitting there. Obviously, you can get money for it. Well, instead of going direct to one of the big companies that you might have heard of from TV advertising, you could do a search, come up with us, find us, and then put your phone in. We give you a list of prices that different companies will pay you. Click through, put your details in. They'll send you a mailing pack for your door. You put your phone in, you send it off. They'll test it, make sure it meets all their grading criteria, etc. And then they pay you. And then we get a commission from that, basically.
So basically, when I go in with a phone, I'm given some options of different types of people or different organisations that may buy my phone. And that's the beauty of it, isn't it? Because then you get different options for different things. And from their point of view, from the buyer's point of view, I guess it's a kind of bit like an auction site, really, isn't it? I mean, from the point of view, they'll put a price in, but somebody might undercut their price.
It kind of depends on what the different recyclers want. You know, different times of the day, or you know, because we see prices updated many times on a daily basis, and we try and update our site pretty much in real time. So you know, it's a very accurate.
So what's driving that? Is that like most? I mean, I'm used to working in markets. I worked in the city, and you know, things are driven by whether people are trying to buy or sell particular things. So is it due to demand? So if I've got, I don't know, an iPhone 4S, and a company going, do you know what, I've got loads of customers that keep asking about iPhone 4Ss.
It's the demand on the exit side for them, you know, which is driving the pricing. So we see, particularly around iPhone time, you know, there's a big demand for the models that are going out, so prices will rise, which is good for the customer because they're about to get a new one. So they're trying to build up their stock of those items.
Well, it also strikes me as good because you've got a range of different prices to choose from, so you can see what you're looking at, if you see what I mean. Whereas if you just phone one company and they go, I'll give you £5, you go, oh, okay then, you know, you don't really know, do you? But if you can see that there's a number of businesses there offering a range of prices, you can make a judgment call that says, hey, do you know what, if I hang on to this, the price might go up or it might go down.
We actually like to create the prices change every year pretty much in the same seasonal, have the same seasonal trends.
Yeah.
We like to inform our customers when is best to sell the phone, be it, you know, August is a really good time.
Okay, and that timing, Andrew, is that across the board, or is that just iPhones, because Apple always announced their new models in September? You know, is it dependent on the phone manufacturer, or does it have a consistent thing right across the board?
There are... well, yeah, like the iPhone is the main seller. I mean, everyone wants to trade in their two-year-old iPhone for the newest iPhone. Mm. And we see the prices are consistent across them.
Mm.
I mean, Samsung's the only one that consistently put out a top phone year after year.
Yeah.
And we see some consistency with the pricing for them as well.
Right.
But, yeah, for things like the Sony Ericssons and the HTCs that come out with a really great phone every now and then.
Yeah.
You know, they've not got that same level of consistency and that.
And presumably they're not fashion statements either for a lot of the phones. They're just functional phones.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, whereas people want top of the range Galaxies and iPhones, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's with phones. Do you do anything else? You handle tablets or?
Yeah, we do tablets, smartwatches, cameras. I think we've even got some digital camcorders on there.
Right. You
know, so anything that's tech.
Right.
I think the cameras actually hold their value really well.
Right, know, okay.
800 quid they could be going for on there. So.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, looking at the range of stuff again, with things like tablets. So, for instance, I've got two really old iPads, you know, an iPad 1 and an iPad 2 that are probably worth about 10 quid if I'm lucky, because you can't use them anymore really, because iOS 12 won't run on them even. So do you have a scheme where people have got a piece of technology and it is worth virtually nothing, or, you know, so little that it's not worth doing it? Is there anything they can actually do with that phone rather than just chuck it in the bin?
Well, they absolutely shouldn't be chucking it in the
bin. Exactly, yeah. I was testing you, Andrew, don't you worry. yeah, chuck it away.
You know, there's a lot of recyclable materials in you know, our phones and our electronics. You know, I think the current count is 70 different rare materials and recyclable things that are in a range of electronics. And... you know, it's important to try and get them back into circulation. So,
the reason I set you up and ask you that question is that I know that with computers and stuff like that, the most trashed machines can still have stuff taken. You know, there's bits of gold and stuff like that, and other precious metals that can be recovered, and some bits that can be reused. So, with electronics, you know, nothing's ever completely chuckable. There's all something recyclable. Oh, yeah, it might not have any value to it, but
And these companies that are on our sites, you know, if you send them something that doesn't have any value, then they'll obviously dispose of that in an eco-friendly way.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I was going to chip in and say sometimes I know there are some companies that do like computers for Africa stuff like that. So actually, although the technology in the UK might be a bit obsolete, sometimes they can be put to good use abroad. Obviously, I don't know the full logistics of how you get it there and everything.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Well, it's interesting because our market has changed quite a lot. So a lot of these handsets, well, pretty much all the handsets stay in the UK market now, but they used to kind of go out to... China, South Africa, South America, you know. Mm. So certainly changed.
Absolutely. So you devised this platform. I happen to know, because I came, as I said, and I spent some time talking to you guys, that it's going really well. Give us some numbers. What kind of website traffic are you seeing now? But as you said, Matt, when you first started the business, you came up with a wonderful platform and had no users. So
yeah, well, I'd built this thing and it's like maxed out my credit cards, and then like, I think I racked up about 30 grand's worth of debt, you know, trying to get the thing going, and it was just kind of hit a brick wall now. So
just on that, though, because it's important and it's a good learning point for people starting businesses, especially in the digital space. As an angel investor, I get lots of people come to me with good ideas about websites, and they don't always appreciate this. And those of us that have actually started businesses in this space kind of know this. But just because you developed a website doesn't mean to say anybody's going to look at it, does it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing with this, there was already kind of a lot of search traffic around it. So it was, you know, I wouldn't say it was a unique idea, but it was, there was a market there, you know, there was a demand for it. So it was just kind of doing it in a different way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but numbers are just getting really good at the moment. So,
okay. So what kind of traffic are you getting? Are you running at?
Viewing it, Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, like we get around. Well, last month was our, you know, a really big month for us with the iPhone launch and everyone trading in their phones. And I think we hit just over 200,000 visitors monthly.
Fantastic! That's brilliant. That's cool. Just talking on that, you know, as we said earlier, Apple have a tendency to announce new products in September at their big extravaganza. They've just announced the whatever it is, the Max or whatever it is. Although this is just my opinion, I'm not asking you a question here. I think they're announcing too many phones now, and people are starting to get a bit tired with the whole thing, you know. But when they do come out with a new handset, obviously people that want to be at the leading edge of technology buy the new handsets and then want to get rid of their old sound. What's the demand like? Does the demand follow the same trends? So do you get this pattern of, so they bring out iPhone X, so everybody wants an iPhone 7, you know, missing out 8 because they announced them both at the same time. But is that how it normally works? So people go, oh, I can get the second one in the chain now, second hand.
Yeah, so we see a spike every year. August, September is our sort of busy period. But there is a kind of two-year pattern as well. So I think 2016 was a really good year for us, and then 2017 was a little bit quiet, you know, and then 2018 has been a really good year for us again. So there is definitely that kind of bi-yearly pattern.
Okay, cool.
For sure.
Well, the average smartphone life cycle is around 2 years, isn't it?
Like, yeah, absolutely.
A lot of people have two-year contracts. People keep their phone for 2 years.
Absolutely. No, it's a good point, Andrew, yeah.
People are pushing that to sort of 3 years now as well, so they're holding on to them for longer.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Not good for us, but...
you were saying that when you started the company and then you had your mentor come in or somebody that actually helped you through business, you said that you didn't know anything. So what do you know now that you didn't know back then?
Probably too much.
You can't know too much. So what do you know now if you went somebody actually that is so important to know in the business that you're in, specific to your business?
Okay,
online?
So yeah, there's a few key kind of learning points that were passed down to me, and that is like cash flow really is king. Like it's it can kill you.
Yeah.
Like, getting invoices paid on time, and like even now, like I spend most of my time chasing payments and stuff, and it really annoys me.
Absolutely.
You know, but you know, and I have finance people, but you know, there's nothing like me being there chasing things. So so yeah, and then just, you know, just because you know, you don't necessarily need to have a unique idea. In fact, sometimes it's probably, you know, there's thousands of shoe shops out there, you know.
That is absolutely crucial, and it's my finger's loaded, I'm pointed. It's absolutely crucial. I hear this so often. People go, I spotted a gap in the market. Really?
Yeah, but then you've got to do all the work to get all your suppliers.
Well, one of my things is, do you know what? There might be a gap in the market for a very good reason. Whereas, you know, there's nothing stopping you launching a business, even in a saturated market, especially if you can do something slightly different or offer a slightly different service or niche it in some way. And people quite often overlook that and spend too much time trying to look for unique things just because they're unique, not because they necessarily work. So I think that's a absolutely nailed on point.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if you can take a market and then focus on a niche, like what we've done, you know, we're in the phone industry, but we focus on the recycling of phones.
Yeah.
And that's our niche. And then that kind of is going to allow us to build out to other opportunities, which is, you know, in the future what we're working towards.
Okay. So, go on.
How did you bring more traffic to your site?
Spend more money.
Is that what you did? You really believe it's that simple?
It's not that simple. No, never is. It's never just that simple.
So say I haven't got any money to spend. I've got a website. how would I organically bring some attention to that area? Because there must be some organic stuff that you've done.
Yeah, it's,
tell us, share.
All the time, spend all the time trying to use what your business has.
Give some practicalities. What can I do?
Like, what data will your business have? Like, what information do you have through running that business that the people buying from that business would want to know? And like for us, that was price data of the phones, so they know how much the phone's going to drop across the year, help them make an informed decision over the next, when the, it comes around next that they they're looking to buy a phone, and they can then find out, they can then know how what phone is going to hold its value the best, and you know, go from go from there. So using your own data.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, and to answer Bert's question about organic stuff, you just got to tell people, haven't you? You use, nowadays you can use social media. Back in the day, that didn't exist, so it was even harder. But you tell people you're there, you just tell everybody you know, you go networking. But it's slow. It's a slow build. So for you guys to build non-organic traffic, what methods did you use? Did you use pay-per-click advertising?
Yeah, so predominantly it was Google AdWords we used, which is very expensive.
I was going to say, it's probably one of the most expensive way to get attention. For example, what about Facebook? Do you advertise on Facebook? Because that's supposed to be the cheapest place to buy attention, isn't it?
Yeah, so we've tried a bit of Facebook and...
Worked for you or not?
It's hard to scale up, we're finding, because of the... they're changing the algorithms, especially last year, I think, has really decimated the amount of organic reach you can get through Facebook, and it is really all about the money on there now, which is unfortunate. And it means you do have to have deep pockets again to invest in the Facebook platform.
I think also something like Facebook for us, you've obviously got to have the handset in the first place and be in a position to sell it. So
got it.
You can't just kind of blindly go advertising across Facebook and hope that you hit someone that's got a phone and they are ready to sell it. So
interesting.
Can I ask a couple of questions? What's the most you've ever got for a phone?
I can probably
do you
ask.
Like that? Good question.
She's so money, mate. She's rummaging around in a handbag as we speak.
So I don't know. I mean, the iPhone probably be one of the iPhones currently.
Yeah, it's always going to be the latest phone, unless we're talking about incorrect feeds from our merchants
or a retro Nokia 3310 that's in high demand.
I could probably ask the guys back at the office and they can run a few
can
queries.
Can I ask a question? So somebody said to me, I've got a really old one of the original iPods, and somebody said to me, with a lot of the retro phones, obviously they reduce in value, but somebody told me the iPods have gone up in value. Is that true? And if so, why?
Well, because they're they're probably collector's items, aren't they? So, maybe keep it.
What about my daughter's one that I washed? Will that still be worth it?
It went through the spin cycle.
It didn't just do a wash, it did the full dry.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them are waterproof now as well.
Oh,
so.
This is now.
Right. Cool. Yeah. So, what plans you got, guys? Where do we go from here? Can you tell
us? I've got loads of plans and not enough time to do them.
Yeah, that's always the way.
That's the problem. But I mean, you know, we're building out our contract comparison, so you'll be able to come to us and chop in your old phone and get a new contract or a new phone at the same time. And we're looking to sort of tie that into the same process.
Yeah.
So we can kind of hit the customer twice.
Yep.
You know, because you don't normally sell a phone unless you're getting a new phone. So and then we can swing it around and get the customer from the other end as well. You know, obviously we talked about Brexit earlier, hasn't affected our plans. We're still gonna go off out in that direction, and you know, we'll just deal with consequences as and when they come. It's not an issue for us.
Cool.
And then sort of the last thing that we're also working on is our B2B side of things, you know, like our price tracking data. The business intelligence, which we'd never really focused on before, but we've got all of this data and it's worth something, you know, or you know it's worth a lot of. You know.
Like, it's switched from the value in consume, like the actual customer data, to the value of actual, you know, pricing data and business intelligence, which we can provide.
Cool. Chaps, if people want to find out more about you, how can they do that?
Yep. So it's best place to go is our website, and that's www.compareandrecycle.co.uk.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for that, chaps. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. We're going to have a quick break now. And then when we come back, we've got some more guests to talk to. So have a listen to this.